Jira says we're all ready. Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep. Izzy's here. PowerPoint's ready too.
Okay. I'm recording. I'm at NASA here, and I see Julia, camera's still not working, is it? I don't see any video. No, we try to get that working.
Also, the camera's fixed on the presenter anyway, so you wouldn't be able to see the classroom anyway.
Well, at least I could see someone there. and we could see the presenter. So, we had a good fight on the P3 on Tuesday that we were talking about. I try to upload the video for the landing if anybody's interested on that. So, busy day here. So, lots of stuff going on because we hope to fly up in the Gulf of Maine tomorrow for some snowstorm. So with that, I guess just listen to the presentation, try to ask questions. Maybe I will try to ask some questions too to learn some stuff here about the operations and maybe we can get some more details and stuff as the class goes on. So I look forward to being back in North Dakota on Monday. So I'll mute myself and then go ahead.
You want me to share the screen or just pull it up? Like, do you want to record the presentation or no?
Yeah, I'm recording it in case someone wants to go on. So share the screen if you can. I think I can make sure you guys are co-host, so you should be able to share it, so at least we can see the presentation there. I have it, so.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name's Isabel, but I go by Izzy. You may see me occasionally at Dispatch or in Clifford Hall. Those are both my jobs. But before I get started, do we have any meteorology majors in here? Anybody back there? Okay, I'll make sure to talk a little bit about the meteorology side for you. So we're just talking about the internship here. This is where we operate. So a lot along Western North Dakota, we have Williams County, Montreal, McKenzie, Bowman County. And then we also have like this weird, like township by township in Slope County. So it's a lot different than Eastern North Dakota. It actually hills crazy, I know. But this is where we get to operate. And so we operate 3 Seneca 2s, or at least this was last year. It might change a little bit this year, but 3 Seneca 2s, a Cessna 340, and a King Air C90. So I got to fly all 3 of these as an intern, which was awesome. I got some, I got my high altitude endorsement. I got my high power endorsement. I got turbine time out of this. Super great. I mostly did the Seneca 2. It's just like flying our Seminoles out here. Just like, think of it kind of more brick shaped instead of our Seminole. So it kind of is a little more chunky. And this is kind of the hours that we had for each plane. Now, last year, as I'm sure you guys know, was a drought. So we actually had lower than average hours. This is kind of looking at what hours we flew on average. And last year was pretty bad, but I would tell you over the entire summer, I still got about 60 hours of flying in. So while she's working on that, so this year we're guessing it's probably going to be a lot better of a year just based off of snowfall averages already. So I would tell you a good year, we can get upwards of 80 flying hours over the course of the summer, which is great. And the project runs from June 1st to August 31st. Obviously, for interns, they understand that you're going to have to start classes again in August, so they let you leave as you need to in August. I was able to stay until about a couple of days before the semester started, which was great. It was a lot of fun. So looking at this map again, this shows where we get to see. So down here in the bottom corner, that's Bowman. This is where I was based. I seeded this this county right here, and then up into Slope County. So this red right here is the buffer zone. So it means we can fly over that area and maybe have a little bit of seeding operation, but we try to turn off our burners, stop the flares before we get into that buffer zone. And I'll kind of talk about the seeding material here in a little bit. And so up here, this is District 2, that's what we call it. It's obviously a lot bigger. We only had 3 aircraft up there last year. We had the Kinger and 2 Senecas. And then down in District 1, we had a Seneca and a Cessna 340, which was how I was able to get through the Cessna 340 and the Kinger. It was because the 340 was based with me. So we do weather modification with the company Weather Modification International. It's a partnership between the company and North Dakota Atmospheric Resource Board. And then I don't know if you guys have seen them, but they are based out of Fargo Jet Center. Who here has been down to Fargo Jet Center? A couple of you. So you guys might have met the people that help run this. So it's really cool. We get to do our training down there in Fargo before starting our internship. So last May, the interns and I, we all went down there and we got our high altitude endorsement in their Super Kinger that they have. It was a lot of fun. We kind of just went up. We went somewhere over Minnesota, and then we just worked on just doing emergency descents in Kinger. Pretty safe. So that was a lot of fun. These are our generators for each aircraft. So up here on the top, we have the 340. So we have the low C generator. I'm sure you guys will go more in depth with these, but we have the low C generator, which is what we normally use for most of our seeding. This is for base seeding. We also have our flares, and then we also have our ejectable flares. So the burn in place flares, we call them BIPs. Those ones you'll also use for base seeding. And those are for hail reduction mostly, whereas our low C generator, we'll use that for both rain enhancement and hail reduction. And then ejectable flares, those are usually for rain enhancement, but those are our top seeding. So the 340 is able to go up above these towering cumuluses and drop the flares into it. So they'll light it and drop the flare in. And that's how we top seed with the 340. On the Senecas, we just have 2 low C generators and the BIPs as well. And then on the King Air, we have a dry ice dispenser. So it gets kind of cramped in there, but we have this kind of tank. It's called a hopper, what we have in there. And so before we get ready for a flight, our meteorologist will tell us to be on standby. So we'll go out, we'll sift dry ice so that we don't have any extra ice accumulated on it. And then we get to dump it into the hopper there. And it's actually, I don't know how many of you guys have handled pounds and pounds and pounds of dry ice, but it gets to be very tedious and a lot of work. And in the King Air, older King Air like that, it can get kind of hot in there. So before you're hopping in the plane and going flying, you're already sweating and just adrenaline is running, and then all of a sudden you gotta go find those clouds. The King Air also has BIPs. It has a double rack, but it's a little unusual to use BIPs on the King Air. Because like I said, those are mostly for base seeding. And then it also has ejectable flares. The King Air, we only use it to do top seeding. So the King Air doesn't get used as much, but when you do, it is the coolest experience ever. Going top seeding, you're punching through the middle of a cloud. These are some photos I took from a storm that we had. You can see kind of a shelf cloud going right there and through here. If you're lucky, you get to see a storm with a double shelf cloud. Those are really cool. That's how you know the storm is good, right? We want to see those shelf clouds. And when you're base seeding, you're working with that shelf cloud because the shelf cloud is telling you where that inflow is. And that's where we want to drop our seeding material so it gets up into the cloud. So this was July 8th. It was a crazy storm. Me and my PIC, we got stuck in a hail shaft for a minute. And if you've ever been in a hail shaft in a plane, which I doubt you have, but It's possible. It kind of sounds like somebody's shooting coins at you, depending on the hail size. It's kind of different for each hail shaft, but here's a video. This was like a shelf cloud that started to collapse. So it's got this weird wave here. And that one we were dealing with, that was a pretty intense storm too. It dropped hail about, I want to say 3 centimeters in diameter outside of our county. So it didn't start dropping until it was past our seeding area. And then here's just kind of a view of the shelf cloud that we were next to as well. You can see here the burner right here that's going, that's showing that we're releasing our seeding material. And here we're turning around so we can make another pass in front of the cloud. So what you do is you follow a shelf cloud as it moves across your district. So if the shelf cloud is coming west to east, you're doing zigzags north to south as it goes until you get to the other side of the district. And you stop seeding. And if you can return to your airport, go ahead, do it. If you can't, which is what happened a lot, we would end up going to another airport. So a couple times we got stuck in Lemon, South Dakota, and we would just take the crew car and go get dinner while we waited for the storm to pass, usually. So that's what you'd experience with the bigger storms. With smaller storms, we were able to return to our airport, recam, refuel, and be ready for the next storm. So what do you do besides flying? There's getting stuff like our BIPs ready. This is the beginning of the summer. We had to drop every single little BIP into these racks. There's 3 of these racks, and we had to screw it into the bottom of the airplane and make sure it all worked. It was a little tedious, but good team building for the start of the summer. We are basically, it depends on the airport that you're at. So in Bowman, we were kind of like the helpers at the FBO. We got to count hours towards our internship for helping other people out. We'd refuel other planes. This came in, it was on its way to Minnesota to help with firefighting. And so I got to fuel this. It was a single point fueling and nobody else really knew how to do it. So I was fueling this helicopter and we got to talk to the pilots and go in the cockpit and talk about what they have in there. It was really cool. So that's something you can do in on the side, in addition to your internship, is helping at the airport. Some of the PICs, they were CFIs. They would go and instruct local people. In fact, my PIC got somebody from in town, got him his private while he was there over the summer. It was a great time. And then because of that, he was just able to rent their Cessna whenever. He was like, I'll instruct if I get to use your Cessna. So on clear days, we'd go flying in that 172. Sometimes you gotta do your own preventative maintenance. So this isn't terrible, but here we were fixing the vortex generator. And nothing terrible, but the thing is, each field should
have— Hello, can you hear me? Oh, you got me? Yeah. Hey, good, good. Yeah, basically, I don't know, something happened with one, a power supply or something that controls, that does both of them. And, we get no lasers, coming out of the, into the tubes and stuff. So, and it seems that it's something that is, driving a laser or control board or power supply or something. But it's for both of them.
All right, sorry about that. But so each field should have their own maintenance. If not, we get to do little small things, obviously, within our means. So we fixed the vortex generator. We had to fix a circuit that had popped in the 340. The 340 is very old, so we had to do a lot of smaller things on it, replace light bulbs, stuff like that. Nothing too crazy, though. It was just, everything within our means. all the things we can do, we can just watch for the weather. So this was a really cool photo that my PAC got. The storm wasn't seedable, unfortunately, and you'll understand that there's actually very specific criteria that we have to use. But at this time we were watching it pass by. I think actually me and my PIC were up in the Seneca and we left the 340. It was a one plane storm, I'm pretty sure. And it wasn't really useful, but we did get this really cool photo. So watching for storms is important. You can always log that for hours. And it's really what we do. It's half the reason, or I guess half the way that we figure that we need to go check out a storm in the sky. So you can do airport maintenance. So this is one of the meteorologists interns. She learned how to drive a mower, which was fine, you know? So it was dry this summer, so we didn't mow that often, but something you can do, you can log that for hours and get paid for that as well. This was our radar met. He was learning how to tug the planes. We have a, it's kind of weird using our tugs. We had a tool cat, so just being really specific, but our met was like, I've never even touched a plane before. So we showed him everything about it. We even got him his student cert while he was there. And there he is pushing our planes around. This is me and my PIC. We were flying one of the intern mets around. She had never been in a smaller plane before. She got her student cert as well. It was a good time. And then, like I said, storm watching, super important because, you know, if you want to get to a storm on time, you need to be watching it and you want to be there before it starts, right? So the only way we're going to know that is if you're watching it. It's not going to show up on radar because if it shows up on radar, you're already too late. It's already started raining and we want to get there before it started raining or hailing in some cases. Radar watch is something you can do. This was late one night. It was like 3 a.m. A lot of storms will pop up late at night, so you just gotta hang out and wait it out. Obviously, you can't sit outside and watch the storms late at night because it might be hard to see unless there's a lot of lightning in it. So we just wait in our radar room. You can see our, this is our radar in the background. It's checking it, and then this is like a bigger radar, and this is also like, we usually have at least four screens up. So we have our active radar. This is the one right here is our radar plus it tracks our aircraft. This is like forecasts. And then this is radar images across a couple states. So we see if something is moving towards us from Montana, then we can see that all the way over here. You got to mix chem. This is part of the job. You're going to spend about 2 or 3 hours after every storm mixing chem. Does anybody know what we use to seed with, what chemicals we use?
Silver iodide,
and a lot of acetone. That's going to smell like nail polish remover in that entire shack there. But so we spend a lot of time doing that. And I'm sure Dr. Deline will tell you the exact composition of our seeding material. But it was really convenient. They give everything to us in perfectly proportioned little jugs. And so we toss it into this carboy right here. And you spend 30 minutes just shaking it until it's all dissolved. And then put it into these bigger carboys and add the acetone. And then that's what you use to go into our low C generators. So, and then that's what we burn to seed it. And then, so another random thing you can do, this is not something you should log, but in Bowman, we actually stay on a farm and they have a lot of farm cats. So that was just something we got to do in the meantime. I learned to drive a tractor, which I thought was the coolest thing in the world. Unrelated, but it was still a way I could log hours because then I was mowing the airport in bigger areas. There was one time where a deer got inside the airport perimeter fence. So me and my PIC got up at 5 a.m. every morning to go find it and hopefully push it out of the perimeter. Never ended up finding it, but it was in there because we had a couple pilots come up to us and say, hey, there was a deer crossing the runway as I was trying to land. All right, here we go, 5 a.m. So, you know, interesting time, things that you can do. There's a lot of random stuff. If there's pilots that come in and you just talk to them, we had an air show. Well, it was more of like an air meet. You can help with that. The airport manager, sometimes he has planes for you to clean. You can go do that and log hours as well. So it's not just flying and watching the weather. There's a lot of other things you can do. outside of the internship, it, you know, it's not just North Dakota. There are other things we can do. It's not super boring. So we went golfing, we went hiking. Has anybody been to Theodore Roosevelt National Park? Yeah, okay. It's really cool, actually. I was surprised to see that in North Dakota. I'm from Denver myself, so I thought North Dakota was just flat. But seeing that park was really cool. So we spent a little bit of time out there. And then naps. There was a lot of naps. So those are just kind of some of the things you do. And then obviously when you get a bunch of college kids together, you just goof around and have a great time. Also on the meteorologist side, you do a lot of forecasting and radar watch. There was times where towards the end of the summer, the pilots, the intern pilots get to help with radar watch when we start to lose some of our intern meteorologists. So there was one time that I was radar watching from, it was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was tough. I was very close to falling asleep, but I logged that for hours. It was a really good experience of seeing how we deal with it. I felt bad. I had to wake my meteorologist like 5 times because the storm kept growing and then falling and growing and falling. So does anybody have any questions for me about the internship, about what we get to do, how to apply, anything? Go ahead.
What area would you recommend? I heard that Bowman is good.
Bowman is the fun district. You're stuck with 5 other people, and you know you're always together, so it's always a good time in Bowman. But if you want more flying hours, go to District 2. You're not going to be with a bunch of people. It's probably going to be you, your PIC, and maybe a meteorologist sometimes. So then it's limited. It's kind of small. You kind of keep to yourself. But you could encounter a possibility of getting more hours. I wouldn't guarantee that because we did have one of our Senecas in District 2 flew like 30 hours or something because it had a bunch of maintenance problems, actually. So it depends on what you want out of the internship. Go ahead.
Did you take this course last year?
I did, yeah. Sure.
You mentioned you lived on a farm. That's something that you pay for yourself, you pay for the housing.
So they figure out the housing for the interns before you get there. You do pay for it, but most of it is pretty cheap. I paid $300 a month for where we lived. It was a small farmhouse. I did have to share a room with somebody, but I was the only person. The two of us were the only people that had to share a room. If you go to District 2, where it's bigger, usually they get an apartment. Now keep in mind, these apartments were built during like the oil field rush. So they're kind of cheaply made, but they're cheap and they find it for you beforehand. Sure.
What's the application process look like? Because I know, like, if we're not done with 325 currently, we have to finish that by April 1. But other than that, what's it look like?
So about mid-March, I believe, Dr. Deline and Kelly Schroeder, who's like the intern supervisor at the Atmospheric Resource Board, will send out an email saying, here's the application. So I think you just need a resume and your logbook hours. I'm pretty sure there might be a cover letter, but I don't know. And then they review that. And then once they decide who they want to interview, they'll send out an email saying, you know, congrats, we want to interview you, or thanks for applying, try again next time. And then after the interview, then they'll tell you who got selected. Good.
How many total interns get hired?
Last year we hired 6 interns, yeah. Yep. This year I think it'll be 5 or 6. It changes. We don't know if we're gonna keep the 340. So that's a factor. And last year we had a couple different positions for the interns. So we had just a regular pilot intern. We have the King Air intern, which means that you get to, you mainly are based with the King Air, but every intern gets a rotation with the King Air. So when I got my rotation with the King Air, I went up to Williston. I spent 10 days in Williston and I flew the King Air. And then the King Air intern went down to Bowman and took my spot for 10 days. So that was the King Air rover. And then there was the Vacation rover, which everybody got 10 days of vacation as well. So when I went on my vacation, the vacation rover came down to Bowman and took my spot for 10 days. We might be doing away with the vacation rover because 10 days is kind of a lot of unpaid work over the summer. So it's probably about 4 to 6 interns this year. Yep.
So other than the 10 vacation days, how often would you say like you guys aren't flying? You said you have about, you know, you got about 60 hours for the summer, and that's kind of short. So like, I mean, are you at the airport basically all the time, or how's that work?
So I was at the airport probably at least 5 days out of the week, just building hours because it was a drought. I would do other chores around the airport. But in a good year, I would say you fly every other day on average. And then the thing is, if you hit like, you know, a 2 week drought period, we are required to do maintenance flights every 6 days. So it has to be less than 0.5, but you can go up, you can do a couple laps in the pattern and land, and that'll be your maintenance flight. Yep.
Are your flights always at night?
Actually, our first two missions were at night. So hopping in the Seneca the first time, you know, it was dark, we couldn't see the storm. It's a lot of our storms are at night, and you'll learn why in this class. I mean, just basic meteorology is the heating of the surface at night. A lot of our storms, our big storms especially, will come across right in the evening. We rarely get anything first thing in the morning. Yeah.
About 28 hours total you want to have an intern, not necessarily 5 hours.
So we're allowed up to 40 hours a week. I would say on a good week, we could log a solid 40 hours. And that includes flying. If you're not flying that week, it's better to log about 35 hours. You know, by Friday, you don't want to be any more than 30 hours, because if some reason a storm popped up on Saturday or Sunday, it's really easy to fill up those 10 hours with one mission pretty quick. Anybody else? Yeah.
Do you get to choose the airplane that you want to fly?
You can bid for your airplane. So what happened was, when they select the interns last year, they were like, okay, give us your top three places. And that correlates with what plane you want. So me and my friend, we both bid for Bowman because we knew we wanted to be there. We wanted a room together. That's how we got our room together. So we both, I got the Seneca in Bowman and she got the 340 in Bowman. And that's kind of how you choose the plane. Yeah.
Did you as a group, like some interns go out of town very often, or? Was
amazing. So you're supposed to stay in district.
Okay.
But if every day we have a meeting at noon. So if during the meeting our intern met forecasts that it's a no sig day or no significant weather, then usually it's okay that we go out and we go do stuff. So that's, there was one day where we had a big project meetup. And you can see here, we all went to Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and that was all three bases. We all met up together on the North Unit, and then afterwards we got dinner together and went our separate ways. So it's not unreasonable to leave the district. You're allowed to, but we try to keep you in district on days where there might be weather. Yeah.
So say that you have a PIC, did you ever log PIC?
Yep, so they'll talk about it during training, but I logged PIC time the entire summer. I got all of those hours were PIC time because I was endorsed for all of those points. I could log PIC time whenever. We can both log PIC time. So there's the two definitions. There's the final authority and sole operator. If I was sole operator, I would log PIC. And usually I was. They got to the point in the summer where my PIC, he didn't do anything. He operated the iPad and I flew the plane and shot the flares and turned on the burners. So it gets pretty easy to do. Yeah.
Were you doing something like every day of the week, like all 7 days, or like they were planning to have storms like on the weekend, they'd give you like a day off where you weren't doing anything kind of in the middle of the week?
You can take a day off. If you know that there's no weather and you don't want to do anything that day, that's totally fine. It's you kind of build your own schedule. If you know that like at the end of the week, it's looking heavy with a storm and you're like, you know, I want a little bit of a break, go for it. Don't log any hours. It's your own schedule. The thing is about that is, it's really unpredictable. So we, you know, there was days where we're like, oh yeah, Monday looks great for storms, and then nothing happened. you don't get it like a day off. You're technically on call 24/7 while you're on project. So if, you know, if your meteorologist sees something and they tell you to be on standby, that means you need to go get your plane ready and be at the airport waiting for the storm. And maybe the storm passes and you don't even get to fly, but you log those standby hours. And then if you're there, you're on standby and then they say launch, and that's when you go flying. Sometimes, occasionally, meteorologists will say, hey, we need you at the airport, we need to go. I don't care if you're not on standby, we need to go. Just how it happens sometimes. Yeah.
Outside your flight hours, can you log to recover 40 hours?
It depends on the year, because the Atmospheric Resource Board is a government-funded thing. They get a budget every year. So we, each intern was allowed, I want to say, 20 hours of overtime over the course of the summer. There were some interns that kind of blew through that at the beginning of the summer, so they weren't allowed any, and it kind of made it hard for other interns to get overtime. It happens that that intern had a lot of maintenance flights, so they were logging a lot of time. Usually you have to get approval beforehand to get overtime, and they're looking, all right, did you fly a bunch of storms? Is it reasonable that you're working overtime, or did you spend the entire week mowing the airport? So, anybody else? Questions? Yeah.
So who are the PICs? They work college, or they?
Nope, so the PICs work for Weathermod International out of Fargo. And actually a couple of them are on other projects right now. So Weathermod International has projects in Idaho, California, Wyoming, and I want to say Washington. So a lot of them are on winter project right now, and they're out flying King Airs, seeding for snowstorms, and then they'll come back and they'll do summer project in North Dakota. So they're hired by Weathermod International. They technically work for somebody different. So they work for Weathermod, and then we work for the Atmospheric Resource Board. Yeah.
How does the training process work?
So the training, it might depend on COVID restrictions again. The last 2 years it's been online over Zoom. And really what happens, well, besides the high altitude training, you know, everybody will go down, they'll take the Super King Air up for 2 hours and everybody will get their endorsement. But then we do the Zoom training and they talk about how to mix the chemicals, you know, preventative maintenance, how to log hours, how to log information in the iPads, because we keep track of all of our data. And so we keep that together, and how do we do all that? And then like weekly reports and reports after storms. And then once you get to your bases, that's usually when you go get your high power endorsement. So usually they have a CFI at each base to make sure that you can get endorsed for your high power. Other questions? No? Okay. Well, if you guys do think of a question at any point, there's my email. I'll get back to you a lot quicker on my email than my Instagram, but if you feel like you need to reach out on Instagram, totally fine. And then the WeatherMod website is awesome. It has a lot of information about WeatherMod itself, what we use, what storms look like, anything, data on how impactful WeatherMod is. It's great. It's all on that website right there. I really encourage you to go look at it, because it'll give you a lot more data than I can give in a presentation here. Well, thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it. And like I said, if you need to, just reach out to me on either my email or my Instagram.
Hey, I'm back. You guys have
a good introduction. Is everybody leaving?
Nope, everyone's still here.
All right, sorry. Well, hold on, I got to figure this out here. Hey. So I was listening to the presentation also. So, Drew, you're still there, right? You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, what I got from the presentation was that it's exciting to go out and do the internship. Does the class agree? Yes? Got excited about this?
Yes.
I got it, Q. So now the hard work begins, and hopefully you got motivated that this is something you want to do. And then starting next week, like I said, the hard work starts, and we can learn a little bit more about the generators, why we seed in a particular place, how to effectively target them places, what we're doing in, and all the details on that. So, and listening to the presentation about base seeding, top seeding is was great. I started a research project in West Africa when I first did it. We went top seeding just about 5 out of 7 days on a 340. And Jody Fisher and Jim Carr were at our Pioneer Command and PIC and CIP. I get them, the two pirates. And so it was great. We could pop through the Camus crowds, and we did our top seed in that project. So so I'm remember doing that too. So we'll just see hopefully everybody in person on Tuesday. Is there any other questions for me or anything else?
Doesn't look like it.
No. Okay. Well, I think you got some good perspective here from the previous interns and the experiences you can have on this. And I learned a few things too. So we'll let you guys go, and hopefully we'll start the more in-depth, harder work started next week. And I hope to get everything on the airplane. One thing, I guess, I could try this. We got a few minutes here. Can I keep you for a few more minutes maybe, and we could try something? Let's see here if I got enough batteries on my phone, because let me try to get to my Zoom on my phone. I could show you our P3 aircraft since I'm here, if this will work from my phone. Let me try this.
Okay, are you still hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay, I switched to my other one here. Let's see if this works. Hey, I take you on a tour of our P3 aircraft here. So I'm actually at the hangar here at Wallops, and I'll just show you what we're flying here. It might be noisy. I'll see how this works.
Video and the audio are gone.
Oh, yeah.
I want to yell at him, but we don't have his audio on video.
I sent a chat.
He can probably still hear us.
Well, that well, my phone didn't work. If I assume everybody would just see you on Tuesday. I tried to get out there, but my phone died and stuff. So I don't know what you saw. We'll just see everybody on Tuesday.